All right, well, we are continuing in the book of Acts. Last Sunday, when we left off, Paul and Silas had left on their missionary journey together. The first one with the two of them together, you'll remember that Paul and Barnabas had gone out that first time, but they've sort of parted ways. We talked about that last week and how even as great a servants as they were for Christ, that they had the same kinds of struggles that sometimes you and I have. When it comes to relationships and knowing and doing what is right. But Paul and Silas, they have left. They're traveling now. They've gone through Syria and Cilicia, have been ministering around the area of Lystra and Derbe, and they have picked up there a young man by the name of Timothy that we'll get to know later in Scripture much better. But it said in verse 5 of chapter 16, that the churches there were strengthened in faith and grew daily in number. We're going to pick up at that point, reading verses 6 through 15 and looking at that passage this morning. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony in the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside to the city gate, to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and we began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay with or stay at my house." And so she persuaded us. Last week, I was talking with a couple from our church, and they asked how it was that our family ended up here in Siloam Springs. And it occurred to me that while a great many know that whole story, were a part of that story, that there are a lot who don't know how my family ended up serving here at Siloam Springs Bible Church. As the story goes, for about 14 years, I'd been serving as an associate pastor in two different churches in the Evangelical Free Church, first in Nebraska and then in Kansas. And while we were at that second church in Kansas, through sort of a series of events, God kind of just started to convict me that I had in my heart an unwillingness to serve Him in certain areas of ministry, and that I really needed to be open and willing to do whatever it was God wanted me to do, and to even go where God may want me to go. And so, after sort of wrestling with this a little bit, I talked to my wife about it and was shocked to have her say that, yes, she agreed that we needed to be willing to do whatever God wanted us to do, even if it meant being a lead pastor. And so we changed sort of our status within the denomination and said, all right, if a church would want us to come, we would consider possibly going there. Well, that's for about 18 months we were in this process. And it was interesting. About three different times during that 18 months, we came just really close. I mean, right up to the edge of going to a church and candidating as possibly going as their pastor. And in all three cases, in these three different churches, for one reason or another, it didn't work out. Either on their end or on our end, something came up. It just didn't seem like the right time or the right fit. And so it didn't happen. And we ended up, had gotten to the place where we'd said, look, if it doesn't happen, maybe God just wants us to stay here and continue what we're doing. And so we kind of set about a 3-month out, and you know, we were going to be done. And it was about that time that Salem Springs Bible Church contacted us. And as they say, the rest is history. I'm standing here. We ended up coming here. And God led us to this church. But it was an interesting time for us. And for me in particular, I guess I don't want to speak for my wife, but for me, in terms of learning how to trust God in all things, and to trust God's leading in all things, and to trust God's timing in that. Because there were a number of those instances in that 18 months where it seemed like this was the right place and the right time, and then it wasn't. And just learning to trust God in that. This morning in our passage, God leads Paul in some very clear and distinct ways. First in closing some doors, but also then in opening up other doors of opportunity. And we see that as Paul and Silas and Timothy continue to listen to God's leading, that they end up in just the right place at just the right time where there are people who have hearts that are ready to respond to the gospel. And that truth still holds today. For all of us as followers, as servants of Jesus Christ, when we are walking with the Lord and listening to Him, then He will open doors and He will open hearts. When we're walking with the Lord and listening to Him, He leads us to open doors and open hearts. The passage begins, though, with these two different mentions of the Holy Spirit preventing the group from ministering in a certain region. And the truth there is that sometimes we are stopped from serving. There are times where we are stopped from serving. In verse 6, it begins, and Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So they have been preaching and serving the churches in this area of Lystra and Derbe and Iconium. And the province of Asia, we're not talking about the continent of Asia, but the Roman province of Asia was just to the west of where they are. And in that Roman province are some important and significant large cities like Ephesus and Thyatira. And it would have made perfect sense for them to just continue on west. That's the way they're going already. And just move right on into Asia and begin ministering there. But it says that the Holy Spirit prevented it. Then it goes on to say that I guess they must have headed on north. And it says when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, another province to the north. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Now, that's kind of a strange phrase. In fact, if you look at the rest of the New Testament, that's the only place that phrase Spirit of Jesus occurs. It does occur a couple of other times as the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But don't get too hung up on that. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is the Spirit that Christ gives us, which is the Holy Spirit. It's just another way for Luke to refer to the Holy Spirit. He just mentioned the Holy Spirit in the previous verse. He's still talking about the Holy Spirit in this verse. So the question is, why is the Spirit preventing ministry from happening in these two provinces? And we're kind of left wondering why, and then how is it that they knew this? Two questions, why and how is this happening? Well, the answer to both of those questions is we really don't know. Can't do much to correct that for you, but we really don't know. It doesn't tell us in Scripture. Now, we can make some guesses. We can kind of surmise some things. One commentator that I was looking at talked about that it was perhaps someone within the church or maybe even within their group had a sort of a prophetic message that this was not the place to go, and as they as a group kind of prayed about that, they came to agreement that they weren't supposed to go to Asia, they weren't supposed to go to Bithynia. So perhaps that was it. It also could have been circumstances. One interesting sort of theory that's been floated out there is that it had to do with illness. And it could have been either that there was an illness in those provinces that they were trying to avoid, or maybe more likely that there was an illness that someone in their team had that they were trying to get treated. One of the cases who people who make that case point to, one of the things they point to is that the change of the pronouns in this passage. That you have Luke, who up until this point has been talking in the third person, they and he, now uses the first person pronoun, we and us. And so it appears that Luke, the author of the book of Acts, who was a traveling companion of Paul and a doctor, has joined the team and is now traveling with them. So some say, well, maybe it was an illness that kept them from being able to serve in those areas, and they kept traveling on. But ultimately, we don't know how they knew or really why. But you can again think about, okay, well, why might God have kept them from these two provinces? First thought is, well, maybe it wasn't the right time yet. That these regions weren't ready for the gospel yet. That's a possibility. Another possibility, or distinct possibility, is that someone else was either supposed to go there or was already there serving, that there was already a gospel witness or testimony in those regions. We do know from both scripture as well as extra-biblical sources that region of Bithynia to the north, by the end of the first century, is filled with Christians. The governor there, Pliny, writes a letter and talks about all of these Christians in his province. And so we know that the gospel did reach Bithynia. We also know that because in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter addresses his letter to Bithynia and to that region of Pontus and Bithynia to the north. And so, again, perhaps God just in his sovereignty knew that this wasn't the right time. He directs them on. Whatever the reason, it was likely a combination of circumstances and the Spirit's leading that kept them moving on west, and they arrive in Troas. The lesson here is that there are times where we are stopped from serving. Now, I use that phrase because it fits with this idea of being prevented from preaching. But the reality is that they aren't entirely stopped from serving. That as we read the passage, it's really more that they were redirected in their service for Jesus Christ. And so it's not so much that they were stopped as redirected. God sometimes has other ways that he wants us to serve him. He has other kinds of ministry in store for us. And so he may stop us in one area and lead us to a different area. As I mentioned before, when it was sort of going through, when I was going through that whole struggle with God over his desire for ministry for the future, one of the really hard things for me to wrestle through, as my family will attest, was the whole idea of no longer doing youth ministry. As an associate pastor, that had been a role that I'd been able to fill in both churches and was passionate about and enjoyed and just had to work through that if God wanted me to do this other thing, I wasn't going to be able to do this anymore. Now, there were still things I again, loved about that. There were challenges in that. But I would say also in that, after 14 years in student ministry, there were times where, as I look back on it, I had a tendency to trust in skills that I developed and experienced rather than trusting in God. And sometimes God moves us from a ministry that we're comfortable in to something that we're uncomfortable in because he wants to do a work in us. That he wants us to learn dependence, and he wants us to learn to trust, and he wants to develop new gifts and passions within us that maybe we are putting on hold right now. So sometimes God stops us from serving, redirects us in our service because of something he wants to do in us. Sometimes it's because there's a need someplace else. We look around us and we see, wow, there's a need for someone to go over there. Well, if we're going to do that, occasionally it means we have to give up something that we have been doing before. We as a church have just come through a sort of a season, a period, and well, I shouldn't say come through, we're still in a season or a period where we are sending out a great number of people, and I mean that very literally, sending out to serve Christ in other locations. And in most of those instances, it's because they've looked and they saw there's a need, and that's a need that I could meet. And they prayed about it, and God laid it upon their heart, and they said, this is where God is calling me to serve. Now, to do that, they had to give up some things here. And close relationships with family, that moving away, but also serving Christ in this community, in this body. And we're still kind of praying as God will provide to fill some of those holes. We know that within the body of Christ that God can do that. But they looked out and saw places where there wasn't a body of Christ to maybe fill those things and said, you know what, that's a need I can fill. Sometimes God moves us because we see a need someplace else. And then sometimes we maybe don't know that the door is closed for that opportunity, like Paul and Silas, and we end up waiting to see where God will take us next. So in a sense, at times we are stopped from serving, although when this happens, we should really expect that God is going to show us what he has in store for us, that he's going to lead us to a new kind of ministry. And in order to hear that and see that, we need to be listening to God's leading. We need to be listening to God's leading. When I first arrived at the church in Kansas, again, one of my roles there was in student ministry, and so I started meeting with the adults who had been involved in that ministry, leading that ministry before. And two of the guys that I met with during that time basically said the same thing to me, which is, you know, you're here now, and I've been praying about this, and I think that God may be leading me to a different kind of ministry, you know, within the body, and so I'm not going to do the student ministry anymore. And I can just say I wasn't real happy about that at the time. Just to be real honest, as a new pastor, not knowing who, you know, to try to recruit two leaders when you don't know anybody was not going to be an easy task. But I said, okay, if that's, you know, how God's leading you, I understand, I can respect that. The interesting thing about that was, of the two guys, one of them actually did that, got involved in other areas of ministry. The other one, not so much. And again, maybe, you know, he just needed a break, but for a long period of time, he wasn't really involved in any kind of ministry in the church. If we have a sense that God is wanting us to serve in a different way, is redirecting us, we need to be listening, because God will lead us somewhere else. God will lead us to other opportunities to serve him. In Paul's case, it wasn't very long before God shows them where he wants them to go and what he wants them to do. Paul, it says, has this vision at night while they're there in Troas of a man from Macedonia. Don't ask me how he knew the man was from Macedonia, but he knew. God impressed that upon his heart. He has a vision of this man from Macedonia who's asking him to come and help them. And he shares this with his team. They know exactly the kind of help that they are supposed to bring, which is that they are to bring the gospel to Macedonia. Macedonia being the northern part of Greece across the Aegean Sea on the continent of Europe. And so now the gospel is going forth onto a new continent, into Europe. The important thing to note from this is that we need to be willing to listen and ready to go. Willing to listen to God and ready to go where he wants us to go. Serious servants of the master listen to what he says. That if we are serious about serving Christ, then we're going to be listening, wanting to hear what he has to say, which means that we're going to need to be in prayer. We're going to need to be in his word. And we need to be asking that God would give us hearts ready to respond when he shows us what he wants us to be doing. That's sometimes the hardest part, isn't it? Ken Davis, I don't know if you call him a preacher or a comedian, because he kind of combines the two pretty well. But he tells the story of a Christian man who was sitting on a city bus, and it was a pretty empty bus. And so he decides it's probably safe, so he prays to the Lord sitting there in his bus seat. Lord, if there is someone on this bus that you want me to talk to today about Christ, then just make that clear to me. Well, the next bus stop, a guy gets on the bus and he walks down the aisle past all of these empty seats, and he sits right down next to this Christian, and he turns to them and he says, "Can you tell me anything about Jesus?" Well, the Christian man immediately closes his eyes and utters a silent prayer. "Lord, I just need to be sure that you want me to talk to him. If that's the case, would you turn the bus driver into an armadillo?" And goes on. Now, I share that because sometimes that's kind of how we operate. We say, "Lord, I want to listen. I'm ready to serve you." God shows us, and we're like, "Oh, maybe not. Are you really sure, God? Are you really, really sure? Are you really, really?" Yeah, you know where that's going. There's two reasons, I think, why we miss out on God's leading, and sometimes because of that, miss out on opportunities. And the first of those is just that we're too busy. You know, we fill our calendars so full that when God does show us, if we hear him, you know, through the clutter of the busyness, if we hear him, we look at it and we say, how can I possibly do that? I mean, my calendar is packed. And so we don't have time, and we miss those opportunities. The second one is like the guy on the bus. Sometimes we live more out of fear than out of faith. And we're just afraid of either failure, or afraid of rejection, or afraid of what the world might think of us. And so we don't listen to what God's showing us. And we miss those opportunities. The reality is, if you want to serve the Lord and you're willing to make time to listen to his leading, he will show you. He probably is already trying to show you how he wants you to serve. So there are times where God may redirect us in our service for him if we're listening and if we're willing to go. And when this happens, we will find that God not only opens doors, but he also opens hearts. God opens hearts. Paul arrives in Macedonia at the city of Neapolis, travels from there to the leading city of that region called Philippi. And it says that on the Sabbath, they go outside the city gates to a place of prayer. This means that the city of Philippi, as large and influential as it is, does not have enough of a Jewish presence to have a synagogue. And so Paul and his companions go outside the gates to this place of prayer where the followers, the Jews were gathered to for worship. It kind of fits with that whole truth, is that it's mostly women gathered there, one of whom is a woman by the name of Lydia. It says, who is a God-fearer. She's not a Jew by birth, but rather is one who's a follower of the Lord and a Gentile. And it says that when Paul shares the message, that God opened her heart to respond to God's message, that God leads them to a place where there are open hearts. Interestingly, she's from Thyatira, which is in the province of Asia that Paul had been prevented from going to before. And so now here's Paul having the opportunity to establish a church there in Philippi, one which becomes a significant church in Paul's ministry, as we've studied the book of Philippians and understand that. And perhaps through Lydia's influence to have opportunity to see the gospel go back into Thyatira, into that province of Asia. We don't know why Paul was moved on, but we do know that God led him to a heart that was open and ready to respond. There is an important truth here for our own personal witness and evangelism. And that is that sometimes when we're being faithful to God and we're seeking to serve the Lord, we still may come across a person who is just not ready to respond. That there are times where, in a sense, we are stopped from serving, not because we haven't been faithful, but because that person is just not ready to respond to the gospel. Now, if you're like me when that happens, my desire, especially if it's somebody that I care deeply about and I'm very, want to see come to Christ, then your desire is to sort of, cajole, manipulate, persuade, make them come to faith in Christ. But the truth here is that he opens hearts. And so the better response in those situations might be to get on our knees and pray that God would open their heart. And also to recognize that our ministry doesn't have to just be focused on one person. Because there is a whole world of people who need the gospel, many of whom God is already working on their hearts to respond by faith in Jesus Christ. And so we want to continue to pray for that person. We want to continue to, as opportunity arises, to be a witness to that person, but also to live out life in Christ by continuing to serve him wherever God may open doors or open hearts. I remember a young man from Nebraska who was in our student ministry, and he had shared the gospel with a good friend of his who was not ready to respond to that message. And instead of sort of just you know, doing whatever he could to kind of make that kid respond, he looked around at his high school. He saw there's a lot of other students that don't know Christ. And so he started a prayer ministry at his school before school. He continued to share Christ with other classmates and he brought some of those to our student ministry and just continued to live out Christ. Well, about 3 or 4 years later, this young man that he'd first shared the gospel with finally came to faith in Christ. Interestingly, it wasn't through his witness, but it was through the witness of somebody else. And yet, as I shared with him, there's no doubt in my mind that having shared the gospel and having lived out a life of faithfulness to Christ in front of his friend had an influence and an impact on his final decision. There are times where we may be stopped from serving or redirected in our service, but as we continue to listen to God's leading, God opens doors and he opens hearts. So here we are 2 years later. We are continue to be amazed at just how God is working in the body of Christ here. Continue to be amazed at working and how he's working in our community. We feel blessed to be a part of a church where it's clear that God is opening hearts to the gospel and to serving Christ for the gospel. It is absolutely true that if, like Paul and Silas and Luke and Timothy, we will listen to God. He leads us to open doors and open hearts. One last note. If you're like me and you're a believer already and you're following Christ, when I read this passage, as the message this morning reflects, my first inclination is to sort of identify with Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke. But there may be some here this morning that as they read this passage, they identify with Lydia. Meaning that you have come seeking the Lord and looking for him, and you sense that God is preparing your heart to respond to the message of Paul. And Paul's message is the gospel message, the good news about Jesus Christ. And that message is this, that Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth and he lived a perfect, sinless life so that he could go to the cross and take the punishment for our sin. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us. And so he takes the punishment for our sin that we could be forgiven, so that that sin that separated us from God, that wall of separation that could be torn down, that we could have a relationship with God that begins now and lasts forever, not by anything that we do, but by what Christ has done and by faith in him. And that's the simple message. It is an incredible message, the message of grace, the message of God's love for us, that if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life, a life with God that begins now and goes on forever. If it's your desire to respond to that message, as I close in prayer, I want to give you that opportunity. Would you pray with me?